Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Chaf Menachos 20. And today's Daf Yomi discusses the concept of melach, of salt, that was supposed to go on all of the karbanos. So the Gemara says, how do we know that the salt on the mincha and on all the karbanos is me'akev? Because there's a brisa which states, quoting the pasuk from Bamidbar Yudches, Pasuk Yutes, Kol Trumas HaKodosh Shem Asher Yarimu B'nei Yisrael HaShem, all the offerings, Natati L'chol V'nechom Nosecha Yitcha L'chol Kolam, Bris Melch Olam Hi L'fnei HaShem L'chol Azarecha Yitach, that I have given you a covenant of peace, a covenant of melech, a covenant of salt. And this means, Shetei Bris Amura B'melech, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, how do we know that we need salt on all of the karbanos? Because it says here, Bris Melech Olam Hu, and it says also by the Kohanim, Bris Kuhunas Olam. And just like Kishem Sheyef Sharol Karbonos, just like it's impossible for a sacrifice to happen without Kuhuna, so too it's impossible for a sacrifice to happen Kachiyef Sharol Karbonos below Melech. That is the idea of why we need melach at all of the karbanos. So it's either because of an explicit verse or because of the comparison to the bris kuhuna olam. So when does the salt take place? When does the salting of the offering take place? So the way it happened was the kometz and the lavona were brought onto the altar, and before they were poured onto the fire, we're supposed to put the salt on them. It was supposed to be salted. And that is based upon the pasuk. It says, Me'al mincha secha. V'otash b'smelch b'salo kecha. Me'al mincha secha. And so we see from here that for every korban, there needed to be the salt on it. And what about the minchas kohanim and the minchas nesachim, which were entirely burnt? So therefore, all of them, prior to the haktara, all of them needed to be salted. Now, l'chat chiyua, ideally, the Gemara tells us, on Chof Aleph, that it was supposed to be salted with melech sedomis. That was the ideal, because that was thin salt. But if they didn't find this melech sedomis, they could do with the salt called melech estroknis, which was salt that was thicker and it came from the ground. Now, the Mishnah says, and our Brisa says, that if you don't use the melech, if you don't use the salt, that the sacrifice is not acceptable. However, according to Rav Yosef, this was actually machukas tanoim, and that was only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Mishnah on Yudchesam and Aleph, it says the melicha is not essential. So therefore, it's a dispute according to Rav Yosef whether or not we say that the melicha is essential. And some say, so this is the opinion of the Baruch. He writes that actually it was required, according to everybody, to salt the entire mincha. And about that part, not about the kometz, but about the entire mincha, there was a question. It was when our Mishnah says it's not ma'akev. But according to the melicha of the kometz, the salting of this part that was burned, everybody says it's completely required. Now, the Rambam writes also that the melicha was even kosher by somebody who is not a kohen. So what is the reason why there was essential this idea of pouring melech on it? What is the tamei mitzvah? What's the reason why there was an obligation to pour the mincha, the melech on the mincha? So one explanation is by Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he says, because just basically we don't want there to be a karbon that's missing this essential aspect. You know, I guess salt was expensive, and therefore if you're not going to salt something, it's basically not worthy of coming before Hashem. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying. The Rambam writes a more nevuchim, a rational explanation. And the Rambam writes that since it was the way of the idolaters to make sure not to put any salt at all on their sacrifices, and that was because they were worried that the salt would draw in the blood, and the idolaters did not want to lose one drop of blood from their offering. So they made a rule that you can't put any salt on it. And so since they made a rule that you can't put any salt on it, therefore, for that reason, we went the opposite way. In our karbanos, we made sure that everything has salt on it. That was what the Rambam writes. Kabbalistically, the Mekubalim, Divrei Kabbalah, they viewed the salt as containing within it the special powers, the power of Mayim and Esh, of fire and water. And so therefore, since it was something that contains two powers, and symbolically we see it as containing the power of Midas Adin and Midas Arachamim, the power of judgment and mercy, and so therefore it was important to also put it on the karban. But because of this, some say that there is a lot of customs that developed within the Jewish community that are related to salt. And so therefore, the Keter Shem Tov records that there was one custom that was practiced in Yerushalayim and also in Morocco. And this custom was that on the second night of Pesach, they would put some salt onto their into their pockets, and then they would carry this salt, this block of salt or this piece of salt, in their pockets for the entire period of the Omer, and that was one of the practices. And in Israel, they would have an additional practice that if a person became sick during this period, they would call a Torah scholar, and the Torah scholar would come close to them and recite a prayer, and then this person who said the prayer would take some of the salt from his hand, and he would hold a knife in his hand, and what he would do was he would place the salt on the knife and place it on the head of the sick person and say this prayer. So the Keser Shem Tov writes that he doesn't find the direct source for this. However, he says it was a Kabbalistic concept, but we see from here that the salt figured very prominently in a spiritual fashion, and that goes back to the time of the role of the salt in the karbanos that were going on the Mizbeach.